The other day, I recognized a fairly common thought that I was having, and it's this. I don't know what to do or how to do it. And I began to wonder if that was a part of my identity, if it was a standard belief. And I wonder if you've had that experience repeatedly as well. So, if that's true, I wondered what its effect was on me, and perhaps you would wonder what its effect would be on you. Does an energy pattern like that, you know, that basic point of view, interfere with us getting things accomplished? And other than what I consider to be the obvious goal of self-protection, what would that belief be for? What purposes could it serve? There's a concept that I like called distance and direction. I see golf as being that. And then it made me think that I was actually talking about direction and distance with the statement, I don't know what to do. I don't know the direction to give to my energy expression. Where do I direct my energy? And then, deeper, I started to think, I could be saying, I don't know what to do regarding energy acquisition, energy preservation, energy translation, energy expression, energy release, and closure. Those are the steps that I've become aware of, and I describe them as my energy model of life. That's what human beings are doing, those half a dozen things. If I wanted to look at it from a different angle, I could say, you know, I don't know what to do regarding managing matter, solid stuff, energy, invisible stuff, space, and or time. Then I said, well, that's not just the only things that I may have difficulty with. How about I don't know what to do regarding getting my needs met, and I'll use the easy-to-remember needs, survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, plus two, the need to be right, and the need to get approval or to look good. I refer to that as Sfuli, S-F-U-L-I, plus two. And then, all of a sudden, I said, well, that I can go further with this. How about if I don't know what to do regarding the four driving needs of the ego that are constantly seeking expression through our personalities? And it seems to me now, looking back, that most, if not all, the pain in life could be attributed to this idea. I don't know what to do. Perhaps I don't know what to do in these four different contexts. If we didn't do anything because we don't know what to do or how to do it, we would be experiencing the very definition of stress, which is the nonspecific response to a demand placed upon the body. Over time, it's been clear to me that many of us have a huge number of demands. We could perceive that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I should do this, I'm expected to do this. There are rules that I need to obey. There are things I want to do. I have desires. I have these creative impulses and ego impulses. All of those things can result in demands. So it's easy to see being overloaded with demands. But we're only overloaded with demands if we don't know what to do with them. If we know what to do with every demand, then it's not going to produce any stress. We're like, ah, I got a demand. Okay, I'll handle it this way. I have a demand. Oh, I'm going to do this. I have a demand. I'm going to schedule it. But it's that nonspecific response, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That leads to the stress. Looking at those four contexts that I mentioned, if there were one or more really painful events within them, it is likely that those memories still persist, and by persisting, would still be affecting us. Then I thought, you know what, just using acquisition energy as a concept, it's like, that makes sense to me, and I like it, but it might need to be more specific. So to help in the discovering and releasing painful memories of I don't know what to do, dot, 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 maybe we could itemize the way people normally acquire energy. How do we acquire energy? We work for it, we steal it, we sneak it, we barter for it, we exchange for it, we pay for it, and on and on and on. And we could do the same thing about how we preserve energy or translate energy or express energy or release energy and get closure, a sense of satisfaction. And it seems to me it's pretty clear that if we were to look at those things in depth for ourselves personally or for clients, you can see certain people have challenges in one or more areas. Talking about energy acquisition, I have a list of about 70 ways people use energy to get what they want. One day I sat down and said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can develop a list of 100 ways that we do things, use energy, to get what we want. I'm at 70 and I've not been able to get past that, but I clearly think there are more ways than that. When I think of closure, I had a client, and it was interesting. He was an achiever, but as soon as he achieved something, he never, ever got closure. He never got a sense of satisfaction. That sense of satisfaction or fulfillment or feeling of effectiveness is what we need to use as fuel for the next activity that we're going to engage in. But every time he achieved something, he would dismiss it and go to the next thing he had to acquire. So he never was able to get any good feelings from what he just accomplished. And then he found himself running on empty and pushing himself and trying to use willpower and then resorting to candy and sweets in an effort to fuel him, whereas he could have used closure had he understood it effectively. The other day, reading Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, I was reminded for about the millionth time how important it is to understand the concepts of bonding, rejecting. Since bonding, rejecting permeate every thought, feeling, word, action of ours, being aware of how they influence us is essential to knowing what to do and how to do it. Bonding inappropriately, just as an example, greed or theft, or rejecting inappropriately, you know, pushing people away just because, what must be causing our pain and pain for other people? It's this lack of understanding of how bonding and rejecting and how to do it without damaging others is so important. Right now, we bond and we reject, and we cause a lot of damage, not only to other people, but to ourselves. And we recognize that if we do these things and produce pain, we're sowing seeds of pain, which sets us up for a harvest of pain. If we were to think, well, fairness, balance, justice, and other things like that should be standard rules that govern our bonding, rejecting, not just the ego's driving needs or the primitive fears based upon times very, very early in our lives or even before that, or the ones we've accumulated from generations of our bloodline. I think we could revise the statement, I don't know what to do or how to do it, in several ways. I don't know what I want to bond with or how to bond with it. I don't know what I want to reject or how to reject and do it considerately. You go, because these are natural parts of life, now we want to be able to do them effectively, elegantly, without causing suffering for ourselves or others. In the energy model of life that I was talking about before, energy acquisition down to closure, those steps or phases are about our engagement with energy. after acquiring energy and preserving the acquired energy, we have to translate the energy that we acquired and have protected. For me personally, it seems to me this translation aspect, this phase of translating what I've acquired, is problematic. If I buy a book but don't read it, that's a translation problem. If I buy software and don't learn how to use it, I just put it on my hard drive, that's a translation problem. If I acquire anything that necessitates using it to understand it, practicing with it, skill development, etc., and I don't do that, that's a translation problem. I buy things, mostly books and software, because of the imagined wonders of what they're going to help me know or what they're going to help me do. But I just download them, and I don't translate them quickly enough, if at all, to do anything with them. I was thinking, maybe it's part of this engagement that maybe it's not unique to me, but it is as if I'm afraid to roll up my sleeves and mess around with the software or the books or the concepts until I can use them effectively, until I learn from them, until I have some sort of level of skill that feels good, gives me a sense of effectiveness. This is an underpowered place to be when trying to learn something new is too difficult for whatever reason. It made me think of the 10 emotional states that I speak of on a regular basis that range from a low of shame up to a high of peace, that this inability to translate or unwillingness to translate is more like the shame, apathy, grief, fear levels of that emotional state rather than courageousness, enthusiasm, which is really where we want to be when we're trying to learn something new, when we're engaging in a new project. That's a much better emotional state to be in. At some point, we're going to have to decide on our life's what to do list, right? You know, we talk about to-do lists all the time. That's not a foreign concept to anybody. But what to do in life might be. The energy model of life that I've described is what we will do. We're going to do that. We're going to acquire energy and preserve it and so on. We are going to do that. But I think it comes down to some spiritual to-dos as well, not just those natural physical things that we're going to do. We're co-creators of our lives. That makes one to-do extremely obvious: create. Another to-do mentioned by Christ multiple times in Christ's Returns reveals startling truth, is to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. That's a great to-do. And the purpose of this asking is to gain awareness so we can increase our understanding and experience of our source of being. Otherwise, why would we reach out? So it makes sense to me that the to-dos of asking for and receiving awareness is a really important priority. If we ask that of our Creator, however we frame that power, that's a mighty good thing. So we know what to do in that regard. Another to-do is to allow divine consciousness to work for us, in us, and through us. And guess what? If we do that, it is likely that we're going to be more effective and better at expressing brotherly love and, ultimately, unconditional love. Not only to other people and other beings and all of existence, but even in our own relationship with ourselves. let there be love as a command. Can you imagine if the divine said that and that was promoted in Genesis as one of the statements? Let there be love. Let there be kindness. Let there be respect. It's like, oh, yeah. But that would be a wonderful way of doing whenever we put our attention on anyone, including ourselves, or anything. Life is filled with choices. Do I do this or do I do that? That's a simple binary situation, which from a computer standpoint, we're thinking of zeros and ones and on and offs, that sort of thing. But continuing in a binary vein, do I create or do I destroy? Do I build or do I dismantle? Do I extend my energies or do I withdraw into self-protection? Do I love or do I hate? Do I accept or do I reject? Do I empower or do I disempower? Do I add to security or do I add to insecurity? Do I choose kindness as my mode of operation or do I choose unkindness? That list could go on and on. But basically, if we decide on some fairly normal rules of behavior, we will know what to do in most situations. We could even ask ourselves, what would we prefer? People who are honest or dishonest? People who are fair or unfair? People who are gentle or people who are rough? While it makes sense to me that we want to have some default rules of behavior, and if we set those in place, we go, okay, all things being equal, these are the rules of behavior that I'm going to use. However, we're still going to want to be aware of the environment that we find ourselves in. This is simply the idea of realizing the game or the games, the energy exchange patterns that are happening in this environment that others are playing, so we can adjust our behaviors accordingly. If everybody around us is playing football, American or European, and our default behaviors are being thoughtful, gentle, respectful, we're not going to be very effective at those games. If you're hanging out with a bunch of guys, it is likely that the bantering was going to include pokes and jabs and jokes at one another's expense, and even taunting. And if a person understands the context, that'll allow them to put up some sort of defensive filtering system so they don't take all the things being thrown around in that environment personally. And so it won't hurt when they're being ribbed by other people. Humor seems to be a fairly high vibrational state, but it doesn't seem to me that that's a characteristic of the ego. The ego seems to be not monomaniacal, but quadrimaniacal, with its four driving needs, always on, all ahead full. You know, defend yourself. Take what, you know, finish first. Take what you want. Protect what you've taken. That's like without any regard for anything else. Talking about default behaviors, unfortunately, bigotry and racism are default behaviors that are too common. In fact, when I think of it, the behaviors listed by Christ that we want to cleanse from our consciousness, the judgmentalism, criticism, denigration, sarcasm, and so on, those things are ego-based default behaviors that we think protect us. But in fact, they sow seeds. They create pain and suffering immediately for others, and eventually they're going to produce painful and suffering harvest for us as well. I'm in the middle of a training program, actually halfway through it, as of yesterday, and it's about how to handle energy. I'm learning a lot, there are a lot of takeaways, but the one that I want to focus on in this conversation is the idea that we can instantly know the quality of our relationship with the object of our attention. And then, through intention, we can strengthen ourselves immediately. So we put our attention on something, we can know our state. And if it's not what we want, we can increase our state. We can strengthen it basically instantly. That's cool. In my ebook titled The Relationship Models, I talk about little circle, big circle, and equal circle. The little circle is a position that is basically disempowered, not enough, maybe feeling like a victim or weak, while the big circle is a rejecting, resistant, faking superiority state. But both of those, the little circle and the big circle, are fear-based. The goal in any relationship is to be in the equal circle and to bring whomever or whatever into that state as well. This means, as an equal state, this means we feel and believe that we're up to the challenges. We can grow to meet the needs or the demands if that's what we're faced with. Doesn't mean instantly we're there, but we can grow and become that way. So we feel like we're up to the challenge, we're up to the task. If we need to grow, we think we can do it. If we need to learn more, get more information, we think we can do it. If we need to get help from somebody with more expertise or different viewpoints, we think we can do it. We believe we can do all of that. That's the equal circle. So to me, the importance of that takeaway is that to know our current state in that relationship and move into the equal circle. In other words, saying, I don't know what to do. When we have that feeling, or we hear that voice saying that in our heads, we're like, wait a minute, I'm going to assess my current energetic state by determining whether I feel strong or weak, whether I'm in the little circle or the big circle or the equal circle, and then instantly intend to balance my energy, to strengthen, and to move into the equal circle with regard to that object. When we're in this balanced state of strength and what I'm calling the equal circle, we're in a position to receive awareness of how to do things to improve the situation that we're faced with. When we're in those other two, the fear-based little circle and big circle, they prevent openness and they prevent receptivity, because the little circle is denying its own power. The person in that state is, I can't do it. They're making that up and they're making it be true, whereas the big circle is busy fighting and resisting and rejecting what is. And so they've got their armor on, and they're not open and receptive. They're trying to prove that they're right. We want to move into the equal circle. We want to move into a more empowered state. And the fact is, we can do it immediately. Now, the title of this talk is, I Don't Know What to Do or How to Do It. But now, the feedback to that title is, I do know what to do. I need to become aware of my energy state with regard to the situation. Am I strong? Am I weak? Which circle am I in? And I also know what to do and how to do it. I know how to get balanced. I know how to get strengthened. And I know how to get into the equal circle so I can receive awareness of the best next action. That's what I'm looking for. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. As you listen to the rest of this prayer, just recognize that this is how we get into balance. This is how we get into a position so we know what to do and how to do it. We make this connection to Father, Mother, Life. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.